We must come to a right understanding of our true spiritual condition before we can be saved. We must humble ourselves and believe what God says about our sinfulness, like a little child would simply believe what their parent says. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
Greg, today you'll be sharing more from the life of the Apostle Paul, and specifically how he viewed his accomplishments before and after he met Christ.
You know, Dave, this is really a remarkable passage because the Apostle Paul really thought he was pretty hot religiously, and we see once he came to Christ, he had a totally different view of everything before Christ. So today we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Anybody who says Jesus or likes evangelism is immediately brought in. Seem very sincere. I've noted many occasions where churches would not get rid of their pastors who were clearly wrong because they were so sincere about evangelism or Jesus. You can be sincere and be absolutely wrong. And in Paul's case, he would count that zeal as total loss, as rubbish, as dung. So then Paul had confidence in his heritage. He had confidence in his religious accomplishment. He was zealously sincere. And lastly, notice, his religious righteousness was absolutely faultless. Look at the end of verse 6. As to the righteousness which is found in the law, back in Philippians 3, found blameless. What Paul means here is that by the standard of external law keeping, he was without fault. That's what that word blameless means. Faultless, no fault. You could look at God's law and you could look at Paul, you could say there's nothing I can see that's wrong. He's obeying everything. Faultless. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. He did righteous things externally that were found in the law. And he was found faultless. Paul had an external righteousness far greater than probably all of us. But he would find out on the road to Damascus and write about it later, inspired by the Spirit, that because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And as we're going to see, he counted that righteousness in his law-keeping after he met Christ as rubbish. The religious accomplishments I had on the plus side, rubbish. You see, you can have it all religiously together on the outside and yet be not cleansed on the inside of your own sin. You see, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. The Lord Jesus is going to address some Pharisees, religious leaders, concerning their external cleanliness versus their internal godlessness and sin. By the way, you know, we look at the outside, but God looks at the heart. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You won't get entrapped in that, by the way. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, scribes, and what? Pharisees. The Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? He was a guy, right? Scribes and Pharisees, and what does he say? Hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup and the dish. He's speaking of the way they are on the outside, okay? It's an illustration. But on the inside, they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and then of the dish, so that the outside of it may be clean also. That's how God works. It's the inside first. The bad guys do the outside, and the inside is never clean. It's a cover. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which the outside appear beautiful, as to the righteousness found in the law, blameless, right? He appeared beautiful in his following of the Lord. And here the Lord Jesus says, appear beautiful, but on the inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you too outwardly appear, what? Righteous to men. By the way, people who are like this usually are in churches trying to lead people astray. That's what these bad guys were doing. And Paul says, hey, if they're doing that, I far more could have been, right? Appear righteous, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You see, the reality is, if you're not cleansed of your sins, the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. But the incredible thing happened to the Apostle Paul. The incredible thing happened to Saul of Tarsus, who would be called the Apostle Paul. You see, his heritage, his religiousness, his sincerity, his righteousness, he had confidence in that, yet something happened. 25 years earlier, he met the risen, glorified Lord. Turn back to Acts chapter 26. Here the Apostle Paul is recounting his conversion. Acts chapter 26, verse 2. In regard to all the things which I'm accused by the Jews, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that I am about to make my defense before you today, especially because you are an expert in all the customs and questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. Notice his respect, by the way. So then, all Jews know my manner of life from my youth and up. He's talking about the things he just mentioned in our passage, right? Which were from the beginning, was spent among my own nation and at Jerusalem. Since they have known about me for a long time previously, if they are willing to testify that I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest sect of our religion. And now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. The promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day. Verses middle of verse 7 of Acts 26. As for this hope, O king, I am being accused by the Jews. Why is it considered an incredible thing among you people if God does raise the dead? So then I thought to myself that if I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus, of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them, often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme, being furiously enraged at them. I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. While thus engaged, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priests, verse 13, at midday, O king. So he was out chasing. He was out chasing against believers, by the way. He says, O king, I saw on my way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me, and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said to me, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. The Apostle Paul did not know the Lord. Who are you, Lord? And the Lord saved him that day, and he responded, as we see in Scripture, he did respond, and he understood that righteousness is not through these things. He understood. He doesn't say that here, but we see that in Scripture, that all these things that he had on the plus side are nothing. They're loss. But before he came to Christ, he was confident in his religious heritage. He was confident in his religious accomplishments. He was confident in his religious activity and sincerity. He was confident, but then when he met Christ, he considered all of that as loss, as worthless. So then, in comparison to the false circumcision, back to our passage in Philippians, Paul had far more qualifications to put confidence in the flesh. That was his mindset before coming to Christ. But notice his mindset after coming to Christ. Look at our passage. I'm going to read from verse 4 up to verse 7, which is where we're going to see that. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I have far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is found in the law, blameless. The list is spectacular, religiously speaking. But he says in verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. We have a contrast. In contrast to those things that he used to believe were gain, profit. And you might think the things that you've done religiously profit you before God. There's no profit before God apart from total reliance on Jesus Christ. And he said, all that stuff, he says, those things that were gained, and the tense of this word was, they were continually, habitually in the past gained to me. That's the way I saw it all the time. That was my mindset. He says, I have counted, the word means to reckon, it's an accounting term. I have reckoned these things to be lost. And the term reckon is in a tense that means I reckoned that in the past, done deal. I made the decision, done deal. And that still affects me now. I still believe the same thing. He says, those things that were gained to me, I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I have counted. It speaks of making a decision after weighing the facts, considering, thinking, regarding, esteeming. I have counted them as loss. The term loss was spoken as an accounting term, but it also would speak of coming into a worsened situation. It would speak of damage. We see it in Acts about ships that are damaged by storms. They're loss. Or a total loss. A ship hits the rocks. It's a total loss. It's a loss at sea. What he's saying is that when he came to Christ, or literally Christ came to him, all the advantages or gains he thought he had, he counted them now to be loss. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get saved. If you trust in anything, fleshly speaking, you will not be saved unless you are willing to say that is not an advantage. It is a loss. It is a loss. It is a detriment to coming to Christ. It is in the way. You have to reject that. You have to repudiate it and see it that way and continue to see it that way as Paul did. He says he counted it as loss. One pastor writes, it was not until he had his Damascus Road experience that he came to realize the bankruptcy of such blind religious dedication. Never in his wildest dreams did he regard the efforts or works as dung, not until now, that is, until he met Christ. And he understood the truth of it all. How many of us can say the same? You see, we tend to see sin in terms of really bad things. Here, Paul was doing righteous things. But he was doing them from the flesh. You see, apart from faith, you can't please God. And there may be some of you that have been really good. You grew up in a Christian home. You've done all the right things. You've been a good little boy or girl, whatever it is. And you think, because I've done that, hey, I know Christ. Those things don't put you in a good position with Christ. You've been blessed to be in a Christian home. You've been blessed to hear the gospel. But those things are lost. You need to recognize your sinfulness and your need of a Savior, Jesus Christ, and believe in Him for salvation. You need to make the decision that those things are of no benefit spiritually in coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's by faith when we recognize our sinfulness. Now, why did Paul consider his heritage, religiousness, sincerity, and righteousness in the law as loss? He says, for the sake of Christ. On behalf of Christ, or on account of Christ. It's because of Christ I see these things differently. And it is only because of Christ that you will see these things differently. When you are willing to listen to Him rather than stumble over Him. When you're willing to take His truth and understand it and believe it. Because of Christ. On account of Christ. You see, you could be the best religiously and it's nothing. It's nothing before the living God. It's like filthy garments. Or as Paul would say later on, he'd say refuge or dung. Isaiah makes it clear that all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. You think your righteous deeds, apart from trusting in Christ, are good in God's sight? Like a filthy garment. And when Paul saw Jesus, he recognized his righteousness was a total loss. And it's only when we encounter the Son of God through the Word of God and the Gospel that we can see if we're willing to recognize the filth of our self-righteousness. It's when one truly encounters Christ through the Word that we can now see from God's point of view all of our religious works apart from Christ are filthy rags. We must come to a right understanding of our true spiritual condition before we can be saved. We must humble ourselves and believe what God says about our sinfulness, like a little child would simply believe what their parent says. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The term poor in spirit means destitute. Blessed are the spiritually poor, the spiritually destitute, those who are bankrupt before God. Those who are bankrupt, those who are spiritually poor, those who have nothing to offer to God, who come to Him seeking His mercy and His grace alone. That's when you are blessed. Turn to Luke chapter 18. It's only when one truly realizes their spiritual state that one can be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 18. You got to realize your spiritual bankruptcy, and you may think you're religious, whatever it is. Paul was the most religious. Luke 18, verse 9. And notice what the Lord says through His word here, how Luke describes it. Luke 18, verse 9. And He, that's speaking of Jesus, also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's exactly what Paul did. That's exactly what maybe some of you were doing. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And notice what he says. And viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One, notice who it is, a Pharisee. What was Paul? Pharisee of Pharisees, right? And the other, a tax gatherer. That's a sinner, by the way. Someone who's got a sinful lifestyle. And the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. That's very interesting, right? God, I thank Thee that I am not like these other people, the swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax gatherer, standing at some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified or declared righteous rather than the others. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. You need to humble yourself before the living God and believe His description of you and turn to His solution, which is Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who are continually, habitually poor in spirit. If you've never humbled yourself before the living God, if you've never been truly convicted of your sinfulness, whether it's righteous sinfulness or wicked sinfulness, your absolute destitution before Him, if you've never come to Him as a child, just taking what He says at face value, believing it, realizing you have nothing to offer, that it is all from Christ, then you are not saved. But you can be saved if you're willing to humble yourself. Lord God, I'm a sinner, and I believe Your Son died for my sins. Have mercy on me. Save me. He'll save you. You'll be cleansed. You'll be justified. You'll be righteous. Before we can be saved, we must be convicted of our true state. We must see it as loss. We must see it that way. And on a side note, this doesn't stop at salvation, brothers and sisters. It continues in sanctification. As you have received Christ, so walk in Him. We came destitute, unable. We're not able to save ourselves. We totally trusted in Him, and we do the same thing in our day-to-day walk. And when we fail, we confess, Lord God, I can't do it, but I trust You. Some people say, Lord, I can't do it, and then they never trust Him. When you came to faith, you didn't do that. You said, I can't do it, but I believe You did. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Blessed are those who are continually, habitually poor in spirit. And Paul recognized that. But whatever things were continually in the past gained to me, those things I have reckoned in the past, done deal, and I still do as loss. Brothers and sisters, we're not adequate to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to have that same dependence on Jesus as we raise our kids, the same dependence on Him as we go to school, the same dependence on Him as we go to our job, the same dependence as we preach and teach, the same dependence as we interact in our conversations with one another, the same dependence in every situation. Today we've seen the Apostle Paul, the testimony of him, a man who had incredible religious credentials. He had an incredible heritage. He had reached the pinnacle of religious accomplishment, a man who was zealous and sincere in his belief, a man who, according to God's word, the law, was on the outside blameless, but yet he was like every other man or woman that has walked this earth, a sinner, like you and I, all in need of a Savior. And Paul in the past believed that he was, and he turned, he trusted in Christ, and he considered all that as loss. Well, what's interesting we're going to see as we continue, we don't have time today, is that it's even so much more than that. It's so much more to be able to enter into a relationship with the living God and to know Him on a personal level and to walk with Him, to know the fellowship of His sufferings, to walk with Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this. What does your spiritual ledger sheet look like? What are the pluses and minuses before the Lord? It should be all minuses. Lord God, it's all you. You saved me. You're sanctifying me. It's all you. Thank you. Maybe some of you today have never acknowledged your total inadequacy and bankruptcy before the Lord. That you have nothing that you could do or ever bring before Him that will bring favor to Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Turn to Him and believe in Him. Be like that man. Be merciful to me, the sinner. Have a heart of contriteness over your sin and an acknowledgement of it and a desire to have God's mercy upon you through Christ. And then for those of us believers, Paul considered those things in the flesh as lost in the past, and he still considered them to be that way. We need to still consider them to be that way. Don't let people come in and try to change you externally or make you be righteous on the outside or try to trick you. Beware, beware, beware. It's through faith in Jesus Christ, reliance on Him from the inside, that the outside will then be clean.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments that we have left in today's broadcast, tell us how to balance respecting and honoring our family and our heritage without letting it become an idol.
Dave, having a great family is an honorable thing. God is not opposed to a godly legacy. Where we get into trouble is when we count on our heritage or that heritage to get us into heaven. You know, the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul before he was saved, was very proud of his religious heritage. And in many ways, he appeared to be quite exemplary, but this was really all external. And Saul at that time saw his heritage, that lineage, and his own personal efforts as his ticket to heaven. But when he met Christ, all of that changed, and he realized that he had been trusting in what was worthless in God's sight. And in fact, it was really an offense to a holy God. You see, our only hope for salvation is through the work of Christ on our behalf, and nothing that you bring to the table will help you one bit. You need to come to Christ with empty hands and a contrite heart. You need to recognize your sinfulness before a holy God and ask Him to save you based alone on the merit of what Christ has done on the cross and nothing else. This is how you begin the Christian life, and that's the first mark of a true believer.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.